and gospel. It's an open mic Friday, August the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2018. What does open mic Friday mean? It means you take over the microphone. And how do you do that? By calling in the St. Louis area, 821-0850, or toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Maybe you have a question that you would like to ask a pastor, and either you may have a vacancy, your pastor is really busy, or you may not be attending any congregation at all. So here's your opportunity to ask me, Pastor Tom Baker, about a question from the Bible, hopefully, that I'll be able to answer. I don't promise I'm going to answer every question because I'm not omniscient. So there may be an answer in the Bible I'm unaware of. If so, I'll start Monday's broadcast with that answer if I'm unable to answer it today. 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. What did we talk about this week? Well, we talked about the readings on Monday, the hymn with Mark Smith on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Insight Wednesday, I examined when Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and was trying to show that that isn't necessarily talking about the Lord's Supper. And then yesterday with Wes Reimnitz, we talked about excommunication, particularly in light of what's happening in the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, today in our daily newspaper, there was an article about a prosecuting attorney getting files from the Roman Catholics in this particular diocese in the St. Louis area. And I guess there's other ones also in Missouri, and they're examining what they might be able to do about priests who had been mishandling children. So something to kind of take a look at. I did want, before we get to the phone calls, to underscore excommunication. We, first of all, did explain excommunication means a person is no longer permitted to take the Lord's Supper. Why is that? Because one of the requirements in taking the Lord's Supper is a repentance of sin. In fact, occasionally, we have different services in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a divine service 1, 2, 3, matins, vespers. Matins is a morning service, and it often is done without the Lord's Supper. But when you're in a congregation that had the Lord's Supper every week, then we would also have the Lord's Supper in matins. But we would do the matins liturgy and then begin the Lord's Supper with going back to a confession of sin and the absolution by the pastor. In the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. Why do we do that? We do that for a very simple reason, that repentance is a requirement of taking the Lord's Supper. And if someone refuses to repent of a sin that the Bible says is a sin, then they should not be taking the Lord's Supper because they're going to take it to their detriment. Just take a look at 1 Corinthians 11. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where an inordinate way of taking baptism leads to negative results. But it's very clear in 1 Corinthians 11 that if you do not take the Lord's Supper properly, and properly means you're believing it's the body and blood of Christ, and you're also repentant of your sins, then some Christians, and these are Christians, were actually dying, and others were getting sick. So as I've said many a time, any congregation that does not practice excommunication when necessary really is a congregation that does not love its people. And in this day and age, boy, there are a number of opportunities. We've got, it just seems like teenagers, when they decide to get married, decide also, well, we can start living together now because we plan on getting married. Now, that is a sin before Almighty God. It's not called adultery because that's between married individuals. It's fornication. And such fornication is a sin. And if you have a couple of young people living together without marriage, then they should not be permitted to take the Lord's Supper because obviously they're not repenting of that sin. I've had a number of situations where I'll sit down and talk to people, and it's just amazing to me that they're unaware that the commandments against sexual immorality do include living together before marriage. And a lot of people weren't aware of that. I had one situation where a girl finally looked at me. She said, "Are you telling me that if I go back and live with my mother instead of my boyfriend I'm going to marry, then there's no problem?" And I said, "That's correct. That's correct. That at this point, the idea of living together prior to marriage is really a way of showing unlove toward the other partner. Because what if a pregnancy occurs and then something happens where the boyfriend decides to leave or doesn't want to get married? And oh, there's all kinds of problems. If you want to know the problems in the world, simply go to the new cable station, I think it's called ID, where it's investigative reports of true crimes. And it is amazing how many murders take place because people just want to get rid of a bad situation. In fact, the last one I saw, it appeared to be a loving husband, and he had taken his wife out to eat, and then she was shot on their way home, and he said it was somebody who made them pull off the road and shot his wife and shot himself. And we find out later that he was the one who did all the shooting, and then he shot himself in a part of the body that didn't have any serious organs in it. So he was able to be healed of that, but he got a big, big life insurance policy. And this wife had no idea that her husband was like this. You really don't know people. You may think you know someone really well. And that's why it's really important that particularly young women, and if you were listening to the coffee hour, they had a woman in here talking about some of the problems that young women are having today they didn't have before. We need to train our young women so they'll come to an understanding of what are the problems in this world and how not to trust people, especially strangers, because I tell you, you can easily manipulate someone else by being very, very nice. Well, we've seen this in Wednesday's conversation, or Thursday's, about excommunication of priests, because a lot of the people that were brought into their sway were told, well, this is a priest of God, and if he says this is what God wants to do, then you better be able to do it, or you better agree to do it. And it was lies like this by priests who seemed to be very, very nice men. And, of course, they were not. They were homosexuals. And you know what happens when you go against God's will in that area, all kinds of problems. So we'll see what happens in the state of Missouri. If you want to call 821-0850, that's in St. Louis, or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. The item I wanted to bring up against or in distinction with proper excommunication is from Matthew 18, We talked just a bit about it, but we didn't go through the whole thing. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, this is against a gossip. Gossip is a breaking of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, guess what? False witness isn't talking about somebody who's a liar. It's talking about somebody that you tell the truth about, but to the wrong people. So, for example, a pastor knows all kinds of things about congregational members, and he would be remiss to announce those items in a sermon. We just don't want to do that. So, anybody want to call? We're only too anxious to take your calls, and we're going to start off in talking with Neil. Neil, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How can I help you?
Yes, I was calling in regards to the current news of these Catholic priests that are having sexual problems with members of the congregation.
Right.
And, you know, it hurts me because, the Catholic religion was, the beginning religion for Lutherans. I mean, that's Martin Luther was Catholic for a while. And I just, it's because of the church law that human sin caused this major problem with.
Well, one of the reasons, I think, is a law that the Roman Catholic Church has made that's not in the Bible, and that is that priests cannot be married. Now, Paul says that is a gift given only to a few people. Now, he had that. But here they say their first pope was Peter, and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. So obviously, Peter was married. Now, why, therefore, they have that rule, they can give all kinds of reasons, but it's a rule not from God, but from the Pope and the Magisterium of the Church. And I think that has led to a lot of problems where priests, just many of them, don't have the ability not to be married. And so I think that has led to some of the problems. What do you think?
Well, I agree that that's what the problem is. It just really hurts me that people in the Catholic religion have this human sin that was because of the church law that makes it where priests cannot have a relationship. They got to give themselves solely to Christ.
Yes, we need to remember you do not want to judge a congregation by its leader, a priest or a pastor or anything. You judge instead by whether or not Christ is preached in his purity and the sacraments administered rightly. Because in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have had pastors removed because of such objectionable behavior to God, and we don't give an indelible character to a pastor like they do in the Roman Catholic Church, so it's easier in our church to remove them from the ministry because they don't have any special gift from God that they can't lose. But in the Roman Catholic Church, it's much more difficult to remove an individual who is a priest.
Well, thank you for clarifying all the facts and stuff. I very much appreciate listening.
Well, thank you very much for calling. God bless, Neil.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
God bless us.
You too. And then we're just going to move on down the line, and let's talk with Steve. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. I was curious if your thoughts on if you are a Christian but you are sinning when Jesus comes back, will you still go to heaven?
I hope so, because that's going to be my condition.
Well, I mean, I know we're all sinners, but I mean, sinning at that exact moment that he decides to return.
Okay, so let's say everybody who is a Christian and they are driving over the speed limit and they have a crash and they die instantly, they're sinning. Do you think they'd go to heaven or hell?
Heaven.
Yes. So, you see, you know the answer. However, if you're doing something and you're not repentant of it in the sense that maybe you're robbing a bank or and you're caught by the police and shot to death, I cannot tell whether a person, regardless of the sin that they are doing, are going to heaven or hell, because I can judge what is sin, but I cannot judge the conviction of eternal hell. So remember, we say the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses. When we say that prayer, Steve, we're not just talking about our past sins, but also our present sins and our future sins. So sin no longer is an impediment to going to heaven if you are a Christian. Only if you're an unbeliever will sin be an impediment to going to heaven. And there, it's really difficult when you hear somebody was killed in the midst of what they were doing, maybe a sin, to say, well, that's for sure he's going to hell. There are many people who are sinning when they die who go to heaven because, see, that sin is forgiven. It's one of the reasons I think a lot of people don't like Christianity. As one lady said on the radio to me, you Lutherans make it too easy. And I responded, ask Jesus how easy it was. So I'm not saying that with that view, we should go ahead and decide, well, I guess I can sin because I'm a believer and I'm going to be going to heaven. No, that's getting pretty close to unrepentance. And we need to be real careful there because a person can die in the midst of sin. But that's because God recognizes them as an unbeliever rather than a believer. Is that helpful?
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. And anybody else can call. We have open lines right now, all 4,000 of them. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. All four of them. 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. One of the favorite activities of the devil is to give us the impression that because of our sinful behavior, we are not worthy to go to heaven. Actually, the devil is correct in that. In fact, we confess that we are, how do we put it, such poor, miserable sinners that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But though we are unworthy to go to heaven, when Christ died on the cross and paid for those sins, guess what? We now have been made worthy to go to heaven. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Cheryl. Cheryl, you're on the air.
Hi. I would like for you to just talk about this verse from John 16, verse 8, concerning the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus teaching his disciples that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin because they do not believe in me.
Yes, this is a great question for law and gospel.
I'll hang up.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks very much. All right. Let me explain that. We talk about the means of grace. That is the means God uses to save an individual. The law is not a means of grace. Only the gospel is. That's very important to understand. And therefore, the law doesn't save anyone, but it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't use the law for a particular purpose. It's kind of like going to a doctor. The doctor is telling you your diagnosis, and he also gives you your treatment. So what is the work of the Holy Spirit? Very well, Cheryl quoted John 16, verse 8, because Jesus has just told them, to the disciples, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Now, the Helper is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, what's his first task? He will convict the world concerning sin. Why would the Holy Spirit want to convict somebody of sin? Because who wants forgiveness if they don't think they're a sinner? Now, is that a saving work of the Holy Spirit? No, it's no more a saving work than when a doctor tells you you've gone in and you're not feeling very well, and he says you have a specific virus that is causing your headache. Now, telling you the diagnosis, that doesn't do anything except you now become eager. What is the treatment, doctor? And that's why the Holy Spirit, first of all, convicts the world of sin. Because then he can convict them of righteousness. Well, wait a minute. If I'm a sinner, how can I be righteous? Well, let me tell you about it. Jesus was righteous when he was here on earth. And he has transferred that righteousness to you in a robe of righteousness. So, he convicts the world of sin, verse 9 says, because they do not believe in me. You see, if you do not believe in Jesus, you only can do sin. It is impossible for you to do any righteousness. And then, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. How does that make us righteous? Because when Jesus goes to the Father, read Revelation chapter 5. He goes as a slain lamb at his ascension, which means he has died for the sins of the world. And what he said at the cross is now true. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And then judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, the word judge there means that the devil is going to be sent to hell. That's the judgment from Jesus. So, long gospel is being spoken of here very well. You need to speak the law to someone who that person does not think, I don't need Jesus Christ. Well, then when you show them how sinful he or she is, by God's grace, the Holy Spirit works in them and convicts them of that sin, like a doctor will convict you of, here's the disease you have. Then your first question, hopefully, is, well, what's the treatment? Now, some people, when they were told by doctors that they had AIDS, they had no real symptoms, and they didn't believe the doctor. They weren't interested in any treatment. They were so scared that they would die. Well, guess what? They will not die in Christ, because that AIDS that we have that we're born with, namely original sin, leading to all kinds of sinful situations, that has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the second work of the Holy Spirit is to show how you are righteous in God's sight by faith in Jesus Christ. Not just that he lived or that he died or that he rose. No, that won't save anybody. But that he did those things for your sake, to forgive your sins and dress you in the robe of righteousness. So I appreciate Neil and Steve and Cheryl calling today. We'll be back on Monday taking a look at the lesson for the following Sunday. And that's going to be a real interesting one. I think you'll be surprised once more that we find an apparent contradiction in the Bible. I pray that you're going to have a wonderful opportunity to worship God this week and hear a proper law and gospel sermon. Our prayers are with you. I'm Tom Baker, and we will be back on Monday, God willing. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.